While they're doing that, if you would find the book of Haggai this morning, Haggai chapter 2. If you get in the book of Haggai, it'll be hard to miss chapter 2 because there's only two chapters in there. So sort of like Jude, you know, almost. But Haggai chapter 2, if you got a Bible like mine, it's probably, let's see here, page 963. So Haggai chapter 2. When you find that, I'm going to ask you to stand. Please stand. When you find Haggai chapter 2. Everybody a chance. Haggai. It's one of those obscure books that we don't see a whole lot of. But nonetheless, a good book. All right. Everybody find that? You follow along as I read. I'm going to read seven. Let's see here. Actually, I'm going to read nine verses this morning. It says, in the seventh month, in the 1 and 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, and the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it, ye see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I have covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your word this morning. We thank you so much for the men and women of God that you used, and you have given us a record of the things that they accomplished in the power of God. For it's where we draw our strength and understand that you'll do the same thing for us. As you've told Zerubbabel and Joshua here to be strong in the Lord, that reminds us that we too can be strong in the Lord. And as we're reminded that that strength doesn't come from just hoping or wishing, it comes because you told them, as you tell us, that you will be with us. Father, I pray now that you'd bless these next few moments as you guide and direct in each one of our lives and help us to look to you. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, the book of Haggai is written. It's written at a time when the children of Israel had been taken in captivity. They were discouraged and there were some difficulties there and they had problems. And they really needed encouragement. And Haggai came along and he had returned and others had returned from Babylon. They seen the destruction of the temple in the city. And there had been a new temple started, but it was nothing in comparison to Solomon's temple. That's what he talks about. When you look at this, what do you see? It's as nothing. And so these folks were probably older in age, and the Lord had spoken to Haggai to encourage them. And he wanted to help them because they had to accomplish something. They had to go back and rebuild this temple because the Lord wanted to fill it with his glory. He said he wanted it to be better than the temple of Solomon. And so Haggai is just trying to encourage the Israelites in this plight that they could look out and see. You know, it'd be discouraging. I can imagine today many people are discouraged in California, those who've lost their homes. When you see a home devastated by fire, that's discouraging. I know I've seen one. We had a fire one time. It didn't destroy the whole house, but you could see everything was ruined because of the heat that was associated with the fire. The blinds were all melted. The phone was a gob of something. But it was just a mess, and everything was all just melted like that. The washer, dryer, they were all ruined, everything, because it got so hot in the house. But we see things like that, and it discourages us. And these folks, they came back to Jerusalem. They saw where the temple was. Now, Ezra and Zerubbabel both had had a hand in trying to build this temple or work on it. Nehemiah also had a hand in it. And so Haggai is trying to encourage them to go ahead and let's do it. And he tells them something in verse 4. And this is the verse we're going to kind of hang our hat on this morning and go from there. In verse 4, where he said, yet now, that means today, right now, in the moment that you're living, I want you, he says, be strong. Yet now, be strong. He says, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest. Now, this is not Joshua, the son of Nun. It's a different Joshua. He says, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. And he says, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. And this morning, as we think about this and focus on this verse, and we're going to go off, it's more of a topical message. In fact, my pastor, he was notorious for acrostics. I don't do a lot of acrostics. I do some. And I'm going to do one this morning. And the message I want to bring to you is entitled, Be Strong in the Lord, for I am with you. Be strong in the Lord, for I am with you. And the acrostic is going to be for the word strong. So you know what the message, how many points is going to have, and you'll know when we get close to being finished. So as we think about what's going on here, realizing we need the strength of God to rely on to get us through it, just any situation we're in. I don't care what it is. Some people take it for granted. I know how to drive, so I can jump in my car and take off, and it's okay. But for me as a Christian, I realize that I can't do that without the Lord guiding me and directing me. I can try to do it, but to have any real success is to depend on God to get me to Farmington, to depend on God to get me to Augusta, to have His protection in my life. Now, knock on wood, this is real wood, by the way, I haven't hit a moose yet, you know. In fact, I probably haven't seen more than 15 since I've been up here. Knock on wood. But I'm just saying that God is good. And He will protect us and He will guide and direct us if we're willing to listen to Him and to depend on Him. And every situation you get into as a Christian, you need to realize that God is with you and He wants you to be strong through that situation. Because you're going to face some difficulties. You're going to face some trials in your life. And there are going to be some things that you're going to think, wow, why me? Or how did this happen? Why couldn't it happen to somebody else? Or what am I going to do now? But as a Christian, you have more power than you understand. That power is from God. So the S in our strong acrostic this morning is strength comes from God. And as you and I understand that, and we battle in this life, and there are some struggles, I kid you not, it's not smooth sailing every single day. In fact, they're far and few in between. We're faced every day with an enemy that seeks to destroy, to discourage, to devour us. He's as a walking lion, seeking whom he may devour. He tries to get the upper hand in your life, and he knows the things that you're tempted by. Now, some people think the devil can read your mind. That's not true. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit's there, the devil can't get in. Okay? But he knows you because he knows your history. He knows your past. He knows what you're doing today. He can see that. He's got his demons watching out to see what you're doing. And so he will use those things that he knows that you are weak in, and he will try to get a foothold and try to destroy you in that area of your life. And so we need to be careful that we are always looking to the Lord and relying on His strength and not ours. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, the Bible tells us to be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. And that's the point. I can't do it on my own. I need God's power in my life. And a Christian who is really serious about serving God and living his life for God is trusting God for their substance, for the things that they have, for the places they go, the protection that he provides, and how he meets our needs. You believe and you can give testimony of how God did that in your life. We need to be careful that we start thinking that way. It's easy to talk like everybody else and talk about how we have things in our lives and, oh, I bought this and I bought that and I was able to get this. How were you able to do those things? The Lord supplied. The Lord provided. He allowed me to have this. And when you start talking like that, people see that you're different. You are really relying on God. And all of a sudden, your testimony is vibrant. It's alive. And they hear it right before their eyes and their ears. They hear it right then and there. Because you're talking about what God's doing. Not about what you've done, or what you accomplished, or how great you are. You get reviewed by your boss. Your boss says, oh, you're this and this and this. And he gives you these great marks. This is the opportunity. Well, yeah, it's the Lord who's enabled me to do this. Don't be ashamed of God. Don't be ashamed to say that God gave you the power, the strength to do this. Because you need that strength. And I need that strength. And without it, we are very weak. In James chapter 1, verse 14, it tells us if we're not careful, we will succumb to those things that the world has to offer. The Bible says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We need to have God in our lives. You know, one of the best ways you can thwart the devil and be ready all the time for his attacks is found in Ephesians chapter 6. We're not turning there now, but we will in a few minutes. And you know what I'm going to share with you this morning. But I want to make sure that you understand, first off and foremost, our strength comes from God. So as a Christian, we need to make sure that we're relying on God. That's what God wants in our lives. He wants us to depend on Him. Why? So He can show Himself mighty in our lives. So He can demonstrate that. And it's a testimony of your great God, how great He is. But if you did it on your own, you're a Christian, did you even need God? Well, He was there. He was there. Let's rely on Him. Let's make it known that we rely on Him. Because our strength comes from God. T is for truth. Truth is important. I don't know about you, but you can get on the internet and you can find any thing that you want. If you believe something a little different than maybe the Bible believes or whatever, you can find it as truth. Because the internet does not tell you the truth. You need to be careful that you don't believe everything you read and you don't believe everything you hear, especially in the day that we live and the age we live, as far as the news and the things that they report. They no longer use the facts and tell the truth. They always slant whatever they come across to the way that they believe. And so if I believe the way the world believes, that's the way I'm going to slant what I call the truth. But you know what? The truth can only be found here, and this is where we have to judge those things that are being said. Is what does the Word of God say? This is the truth. This will not change. But you know what? I will change, and sometimes not for the better. But this will never change. This will always be the truth. So truth is foundational. And Jesus said it best. He said, the truth will make you free. The truth will make you free. Today, as we are bombarded with lies, the deception, the deceit, dishonesty, we see things going on. The schools teach a false religion. They teach about humanism and New Age, and they don't talk about and call it religion, but it is. The very things taught in our government-run schools today are just another religion. Now, they won't tell you that. They'll tell you, we can't have religion in the schools. But we can teach you our religion. Why? Because Satan, as subtle as he is, comes in. And these people believe what they're teaching. And they'll fight you for it. tooth and nail. I've seen people witness to folks who call themselves atheists, and they would always say, "Yeah, I don't believe in God. What do you believe in?" "Well, I believe what my professor taught me. I believe what my teacher taught me. I believe those things. I believe evolution. I believe billions and billions and billions," and add three more to that, and maybe five or six after that, "years ago, the earth evolved. And whether you know it or not, somehow you crawled out of the water after all that heat melted all the ice. You crawled up on the bank, and somehow you just saw, all of a sudden grew some legs. You stood up as that little fat amoeba, and you walked around, and you saw there was stuff in the trees, and you couldn't reach them, so you had to grow arms. And then you thought, well, I can't really climb the trees too good, so then you got a tail. You know what? You became a monkey. And somehow along the line, I don't know, maybe you started running real fast and moving quickly and sitting down a lot. I don't know what it is. Probably had became a potato couch or something. Anyway, your tail fell off. You didn't need that hair anymore because you built a building, a shelter, and you didn't need all that hair to protect you from the weather, so now you're not all hairy like you used to be. Some of you. And so you evolved into this human being, and somehow you got a brain that you can think above all the other monkeys and above all the other animals. I don't know how that happened. You're special. Aren't you glad you're special? But you evolved. Billions and billions and billions. Give me a break, will you? 2 Timothy 3:7 says, "Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." That's what these guys are doing. They're going to school and getting all these degrees, degree on top of degree. And they're coming out, and what they say, society says, "Well, they must know what they're talking about. They got a PhD. Well, Cody, you know what a PhD is. It's a post-hole digger. Isn't that right? The fact of the matter is, they're smarter than nothing because they don't know what wisdom is. They have none. In 1 Timothy 6:5, it says, "Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself." There are a lot of people out there that do not know the truth. And if we want to be strong in the Lord, we need to know the truth. And it all begins at salvation. When you put your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has done, that He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary, and He shed that blood to take care of your sins, and you understand that fully and clearly, and you accept it for what it is, it will change your life. You took the first step of believing the truth of God's Word. And so then, from then on, it's just reading, studying, asking God for wisdom. How do you know, and how do I know if we fear the Lord? I can tell you how. By reading your Bible. If you don't read your Bible, you really don't fear God. You say, "Pastor, how can you say that?" Well, what's the beginning of wisdom? That's right. That's reverence of God. If you're not willing to do the things God says in the Word of God, you demonstrate that you don't believe God. You really don't believe the truth. You say, "But isn't reading the Bible just something that you have to do whenever you can?" No. Why? Because I want to be strong. If I'm not reading the truth, how can I be strong? If I don't know what's right and wrong, how can I be strong? I can't, can I? I'll follow anything. I'll do whatever anybody says. Why? Because I don't know the difference. I don't know right from wrong. Well, hold it, Pastor. I know right from wrong. What's the Bible say about it? What's the Bible teach us? Every one of us could sit here before God today and be corrected in our lives because we do struggle. But that's the point. God is merciful. God's giving us time to work on these things, to build this character, to become this holy person that God's called us to be. And we need to know what the truth of the Word of God says so we can do that. John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." How can you be sanctified if you're not in the Word of God? What's the word sanctify mean? Anybody know? Set apart. What it means is you're set apart from the world and you're set apart to God. Okay? That's what that means. And when you're reading the Word of God, being sanctified by the truth of God, you're going to learn some things that you probably shouldn't be doing. And the best thing to do about that is to go to God. Because I want to tell you something. I can't change it on my own. I could try, but I need God's strength to do that. God, you've shown me in the Word there's something here I shouldn't be doing. And I really, I struggle with this. I can't give it up. I can't throw it away. It keeps hampering me. I'm not able to do these things because of this. Lord, please take this away from me. And then trust God to do that. He can do that for you. He said, I am with you. If God can't do it, then He ain't with you. Because He really can. I promise you. In the Word of God, we find the truth. And it's not by man's ideas, his philosophies, or his reason. It's the very Word of God. Psalm 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect. That's that, well, in the New Testament, the word telos. I didn't look up the Hebrew. He says, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And so here he's just telling us that if we want to be strong, first we need to rely on God. Our strength is from God. And then we need to understand the truth is foundational to what we do. How we make decisions. And it's all evident in the way we live. The R. Strong. S-T-R. Now, one year I did a Christmas acrostic, and I think I left out one of the letters. So, if I do that this time, please, you can tell me later. Pastor, wasn't there a G in there somewhere or something? Yeah, we'll figure that out later. But yeah, okay. R is for righteousness. Righteousness. You say, what is righteousness? What does righteousness really mean? Righteousness. Righteousness is the action of the character of holiness. Righteous is the action of the character of holiness. When you and I strive to be holy like God, we're going to start living a righteous life. Righteousness is what we can see as we're living this life. Because righteousness means just. And as we're striving to live the Christian life, we want to live righteously. Why? Because we are called to be holy. Matthew 5:10 says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And as we practice this righteousness, it really demonstrates our holiness. Holiness is purity or sanctification. That's what holiness is. God is holy. We know that, don't we? We've read that. Isaiah pronounced it 3 times he saw God. Holy, holy, holy. And He is. I think He's pronounced it 3 times because of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. At least it sounds good, and that's what I believe. Okay. But in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. In other words, what it says there is, it's telling you and me that without being holy, we cannot see God. Now, he's not talking about the act of righteousness here, although the act of righteousness is what holiness is all about. He's talking about, first of all, salvation. Because aren't you glad that your salvation does not depend on your righteousness or your works? What did Isaiah say about your righteousness and my righteousness? It's as filthy rags. And I heard a preacher describe that one time. He talked about leprosy and how they would take the rag and wrap it around their arm or whatever, and that nasty pus and all that stuff. And when you look at that, that is the filthy rag it's talking about. That's what my righteousness is like. But through God and the power of His holiness, we can live a righteous life. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Does he mean that, or are those just words in the Bible? He means it. If he means something, should we act upon it? Most definitely. And yes, you're going to struggle with it. Yes, there are going to be difficulties, but you don't give up because you want to be strong in the Lord. Why? Because he's with you. Now, if you can't handle things and you're constantly failing and you're seeking the Lord's face and he's not talking to you and you're not talking to him, there's a problem there. The communication lines are cut. Why? Two reasons, and only two that I can think of. Maybe there's three or four, but one, you're not saved. Two, you're not living your life for the Lord. That's it. Because if you're saved, God wants to talk to you. Communion. That's what it's all about. And if you're living your life the best you can, and when you struggle, you're going to God, you're focused on God, he will be with you there in the midst of it. He told us he'll never leave us nor forsake us. That's a promise of God. But the problem is, we run from God. He's there, says, Bruce, where you at? Oh, I'm in the cool of the garden, hiding behind the fig leaves that I had to sew up because I found out as a sinner. Well, Bruce, I'm trying to commune with you. Why can't I commune? Because there's sin in my life. You see, that's what happened to Adam and Eve, wasn't it? They didn't want to talk to God because something happened to them. The lines of communication were broken. They were afraid. They knew they did something wrong. There was evil in their life, and they knew it because they knew and experienced the holiness of God. And now they weren't anymore. So how do we do that? Matthew chapter 5, verse 48 says, Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And that word perfect is the Greek word telos, and that means to be complete in every area. I'm talking about your work, your growth, your thinking, your moral character. That's what that is. That's what that means, to be perfect. And we strive for that, and we should strive for that every single day. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, it talks about the breastplate of righteousness. We need that. As I think that of that breastplate, it covers the vital organs. It helps us to stand firm in Christ, who is our righteousness. And that's what we want. So when we live this life, we want to be what God wants us to be. And I know it's a process, and we'll get to the G in a minute. But it still is something that we need to be doing something about. If you're just hanging on and just waiting for Christ to come back, you're not pleasing God. And chances are, you're really not communing with God. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to heaven, because heaven has nothing to do with how nasty you are, or how bad you are, or how disobedient or how rebellious you are today, if you're saved. But it does have to do with whether you're communing with God today. You read your Bible. Did he speak to you? Or is it just falling on deaf ears? I'm not getting any of this stuff. It makes no sense to me. Why isn't he speaking to me? Well, why don't you go back to the place you know that you're not serving God? Everybody knows where that place is. And it's funny, and let me share this. I don't want to spend too much time, but let me share this. Years ago, I sit in the pew and the preacher would preach. He got up and he preached a message every Sunday night, and I actually taught Sunday school back then. And every time he preached, the only message I could hear come from him really was, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. And I always said this, and I said it many times in other places, God, if I'm not saved, please save me. Now, is that a demonstration of belief in God? That's what the thief on the cross said. If thou be Christ, why don't you save yourself and us? That's a condition. You're trying to test God. That's not showing faith. Faith is, I believe what you've done, Jesus Christ, when you died on the cross. I believe in the shed blood. I believe that I'm a sinner. I know that I can't get to heaven on my own. Please save me. There's a difference. So many years I sat in the pew going, man, that guy keeps preaching the same message. That pastor's terrible. Why does he always preach the same message? Can't he preach something else? You know why he was preaching the same message? He wasn't, by the way. It's because Bruce over there didn't go back to that place where he needed to deal with something. And that was my salvation. Today, you may be sitting in here and there's something you need to deal with. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's the way you live, the way you dress, or it could be anything, multitudes of things. And you just won't go there. You just won't take it there to God and say, God, it's all yours. And you won't do that. And you wonder why God's not blessing you and showing you anything else. Because He wants to teach you one thing first. Get this one right and you can move on. That's amazing how that works. That's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to build upon your faith. And your faith is a stepping stone. A light unto your path. Right? The lamp at your feet. That's the Word of God. Paul reminds us of this in 2 Corinthians 6:7. He says, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. He tells us that's how we're to prove our lives as ministers of God. And everybody in this room who's born again is a minister of Christ. And you might not think of yourself that way, but that's the way it is. That's what God thinks about you. So we got the S, strength of God. We got the T, truth is foundational. We got the R, which is righteousness. And it must be our resolve. In other words, we must stick by the Word of God and try to act accordingly. In the power of Christ now. You have to have the power of Christ. And then, number five, it's a little redundant. Obey the commands. S-T-R-O. So, yeah. Obey the commands. And Jesus made that clear. You know, we say we love God. It's easy to say it. I've heard a lot of people say this. I love God while they're drinking their beer. I love God while I'm dressed like a harlot. I love God because of the places I'm at or the things I'm saying. I've heard people swear and say, I love God. They're lying. Say, how do I know that? Because I read my Bible this morning. And you know what it says? If you love me, Jesus said this. The one who died on the cross, shed his blood, went to the grave for you, and then was resurrected, lives on the right hand of God the Father. Keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. Say, well, it doesn't say not to drink beer in the Bible. It doesn't say I shouldn't dress immodest in the Bible. It doesn't say I can't use cuss words in the Bible. Yes, it does! That's why you don't know, because you didn't read it. You don't read your Bible, so you don't see the principles of God, and then you don't understand why. Well, if it doesn't say, thou shalt not watch TV or watch a bad program, and TV's okay if you can find a good program on it, but I guarantee you're going to have to go through the field to find something. Probably. But it's not the TV is what I'm trying to say. It's the things on the TV. It's the way we dress. It's the places we go. It's the words we say. And yes, it does offend God, because He's at enmity with those things. And we have the choice as Christians to try to prove those things that are excellent. That's why God gives you breath today. That's why He didn't take you home when you got saved. Because He wants to do a work in your life every single day. Build on the stepping stones of the Word of God. Trust what it says. Follow Him. Isn't that what it says? My sheep hear my voice and they run from me? No. They follow me. It says, and they know me and follow me. And if you're not following Christ, do you even know Him? That's the question. Obey the commands. You say, Pastor, it's hard. I know it's hard. I got the same problem you got. I'm a human being. I got Adam in me just like you do. Adam, you're a bad guy. We need to kick him out of here. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, so I know the struggle. But just because you know the struggle doesn't mean you give your up like this. I've heard people say this so many times, and I'm guilty of this myself. Well, so-and-so does it, or so-and-so doesn't do it. Please do not ever say those words to me. Because that's one thing that lights my stove. Okay? That will put a flame under me. Why? Because you just said, I don't care what the Word of God says. I'm going to follow man. And I'm going, why are you in this church? Haven't I preached enough on not doing that? Don't tell me that. You can tell anybody else you want. Please don't tell me. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't care what anybody else is doing. We don't follow anybody else. You're a Christian. You're not a Bruceite or any other kind of ite. And a Christian follows Christ. Let's do what he does. When I stand in heaven, they're not going to compare me to Kirk. They're not going to compare me to Greg, Matt, Adam, Ben, or Mike, or any of you guys. I'm going to be standing there all by myself next to Jesus. And that's who I'm going to be compared to. Just like you. And so when I stand in heaven, I won't be able to look at God and say, well, so-and-so did it, God. He said, didn't you read your Bible? You're not to compare yourselves with others. Did you miss that passage? Was that the day you slept and decided not to read? Was that the day you skipped it? And I want to challenge you right now. We're going to start again in January to read through the Bible. And I want to encourage you. I'm going to stick to it this year myself. I didn't read through the Bible this year. I just read in different places. But this year I'm going back through it again. And I want you to do it as well. Because if you read through the Bible, then you can't say, I didn't read it. At least you have read it. You may not have understood it, but you read it. And that's the beginning of wisdom, is the fear of God. It demonstrates I believe God and I'm trusting God when you read your Bible. You know, man calls it an accident. God calls it an abomination. Man calls it a blunder, talking about sin. God calls it blindness. Man calls it a defect. God calls it a disease. Man calls it a chance. God calls it a choice. Man calls it an error. God calls it an enmity. Man calls it fascination. God calls it fatality. Man calls it a luxury. God calls it a leprosy. Man calls it a liberty. God calls it lawlessness. Man calls it a trifle. God calls it a tragedy. Man calls it a mistake. God calls it madness. Man calls it a weakness. God calls it willfulness. See the difference? So it takes preparation. We want to be prepared to do this. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, we're not going to go there. It talks about having the shoes of preparation on. In other words, being ready to live the life, being ready to thwart the devil, being ready to challenge the world, or as the world challenges you. You got friends and there's people you rub shoulders with that have different ideas and different philosophies. You need to make sure that you're not listening to them thinking what they're doing is right if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. Some of us, this one of our biggest struggles is separation. Separation is just the act of trying to be holy. That's what that is. And we have a hard time with it because there's so many things out there that want to draw us in. And we think, well, it's okay to do this. No, it's not. Take a stand in your life. If someone tells you you have to do it, you correct them and say, it goes against the Word of God. I don't have to do it. You say, well, you might lose your job. Well, isn't it better to lose your job than to go against God? I would rather have God with me than work any place. I'd rather have God than be a millionaire. You say, well, boy, a millionaire would be fun. Yeah, probably, maybe. I don't know. If it's me, the money would be gone in 6 months, and I wish I wasn't a millionaire. But it's not. The only life and the best life to live is the life that we have in God. Because you are going to be tempted and tried. Job 23:10 says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I want to be able to stand before a holy God and say, as the trials and temptations came into my life, I came forth as gold. Why? Because I trusted your word, God. I did what you said was right, not what anybody else thought was right. I trusted what the word of God said and not what some man tried to tell me to do. We need to obey the commandments. So strength comes from God, truth must be foundational, righteousness must be our resolve, and then we need to obey the commandments. We're on the end, so we're getting close. I'm going to try to speed it up. The end is never quit. Never quit. Now, you're going to fall, and you're going to stumble, and you're going to end up on the floor. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you ever had that happen, but I can raise my hand and say I have experienced that more than once. So when you fall, when you make, as the Christian says, mistakes, and God says madness, when you've committed some madness or something against God, do what the Bible teaches you. So many of us quit. And we indulge ourselves in those situations. We let those situations become a habit. And at one point they become addicted or addictive, and we can't get away from it. Why? Because we allowed it in our lives. We didn't understand what the Bible says, and we let that take hold of our lives, and now we are lost in this situation. That's what happens with immorality, drugs, alcohol, all those things that want to take your attention away from doing right. And you look and see why so many people are stuck on these things. It's because the natural man has a problem. We all have that problem too, is that it doesn't take much for us to become addicted to things. You say, well, I'm not addicted to anything. You can be addicted to hunting, to sports, to eating. There's lots of things to be addicted to. Some people are addicted to cleaning their cars. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a clean car, okay? I'm not saying that. But some people worship their cars. Every time they get a buck, they go buy something new on it, another new gadget. I had a friend like that. That's why I can say that. So we don't want to be in that situation. We want to make sure we're balanced doing those things which are right. So never quit. In 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like man, be strong. And what he's saying there is he wants us to stand up and never give up. Think about Joshua. We're going through the book of Joshua Wednesday night. So if you're not here, you're missing out. But as we're going through it, we find a lot of principles to live. In the beginning of the book, it talks about Joshua became the minister, or he was the minister of Moses, so God chose him because he was faithful to lead the children of Israel. He's going to lead them to the promised land. And several times, I can't remember how many exactly, he told Joshua to be strong and of good courage. And he told him, he says, I will be with you. And all he was trying to teach Joshua was that, Joshua, this is not on you. I'm making you the leader. And the reason I'm making you the leader, number one, I want you to get this principle, because he knew how to follow. If you can't follow, he has no need for you in leadership. Because if you can't follow the leaders that God puts over you now, how are you going to follow a holy God? You're going to rebel against him just like you do the leadership you have. So if you can't follow the leadership you have, I'm talking about in the Lord, if they tell you to do things outside of that, you don't do them. In the Lord, then God's not going to use you to be a leader. Okay? I believe that. And I have lots of examples. David's one, Joshua's another, and there are others, because they were willing to follow. Paul was a follower of God. That's why God made him a great leader. He wanted to do right. He just didn't know what right was. He was ignorant until he got saved. But anyway, so Joshua was told to be strong and good courage. God's going to use him. He's going to use him throughout the book of Joshua. You'll see it if you come to church and if you're reading it. But he wants him to understand that it's all about God. I'm going to take care of you. And he demonstrates that many times. The battle, first off, crossing over the Jordan River. He demonstrated it. Remember, he dried it up. Then once he got across the Jordan River, he demonstrated by how? Conquering the city of Jericho. You know, not one bullet was fired. Not one. Mike, you know they didn't have any cannons. I didn't see any in there. They didn't even use catapults. Thought maybe they'd bring some of those along. They just used their horns and they shouted and followed God's plan. The very next city, they didn't follow God's plan. Ai. They lost 36 men. And God showed them why that happened. Because of one man's disobedience, there was sin in the camp. Today, I want you to know and think about this. Because one person's disobedience, not willing to follow God and do right, it hurts this church. It hurts the assembly. If you go out and give a different testimony as a quote-unquote Calvary Bible Church member than you should, you hurt this church. Because people will see there's a problem. You're doing something and somebody else is doing something else. They don't correlate. You're doing just the opposite. So it must be okay. I don't know what your church believes. We all ought to be on the same page. We're to be unified, and that's following the Bible. Now, if you're struggling with something, I understand that, but you need to make sure you're struggling with it and not just giving up. So God was going to use Joshua. Never quit. Never give up. And, of course, God's given us those tools in Ephesians chapter 4. We're not going to turn there. He's given us the shield of faith. He's given us the helmet of salvation. He's given us the sword of the Spirit. He's told us to pray always with supplication for the saints. You know, if you follow that pattern in Ephesians chapter 4, you read it maybe tonight, beginning verse 10 through 18. If you'll follow that pattern, then you'll be able to do what verse 18 says, where it says praying always for the saints. Because what that means is, and what he's talking about is, you will have your brother's back. You're taking care of your brother. When you're right with God, there's power with you in God. God's listening to you. And as you pray, he's listening to your prayer. You got your brothers and sisters back. Just like the military. And you've heard that term all the time when you hear some soldier come back from Iraq. He loves his brothers. And he would tell you that every time they went out in the field, they had each other's back. They needed that. You and I need cover. And if you're not right with God and I'm not right for God, who's helping us? Who's praying for us? Who's the righteous among us? Who's willing to sacrifice and do the will of God? We need everybody to be doing that. That's the only way we're going to win this battle. So we're to quit like men, he tells us. But let's go on to the last thing, because we're running out of time. And that's the G. That's the last letter in Strong. We're there. And this is what I was talking about. Grow in grace. Okay, so you know you need the strength of God. You know you need the truth, because it's the foundation. You know you need to live a righteous life, and you have to have a resolve about that. STRO. You need to obey the commands, and then never quit. And as you're doing these things, you will grow in grace. It will be like automatic. You see what I'm saying? Raise your hand if you like to drive automatics. No, I'm just kidding. That's the way it is. When you're doing these other things, the growing's going to come. Why? Because you're in the Word of God. You're trusting God. You're trying to live the righteous life. You're obeying the commands. And He's going to change you. He's going to take that thing that started out as an old lump of sinful clay, and He's going to mold it into a beautiful saint. Be ye perfect. Why? Because God in heaven is perfect. That's what He said. So that's what we want. And to do that, we need to follow the Bible, because we're going to grow in grace. We're going to be strong in the Lord. Joshua's success was because he was willing to grow in the Lord and to follow God all the way. He never gave up. He wanted to, after Ai. He was beside himself. What went wrong? Why did this happen? I can imagine. Because Joshua had God's promise that God was going to go before him. Where was God when he went to Ai? God was with him, but he wasn't with God. Nowhere in that chapter do you see Joshua consulting God about Ai. The men went and checked it out and said, 3,000, 2 or 3,000 men can go conquer it. Let's go do it. And they went and did it. If he would have consulted God, he would have found out there was sin in the camp, and they would have got that resolved and then conquered Ai. Because the very next chapter, and the Lord spoke to Joshua and told him exactly how to go in and fight Ai. That's what we want in our lives, isn't it? God speaking to us, telling us how to do what we do, so we know that we're in the right place. And if God's with you and He's in the midst of the battle, you can't lose. So you want to grow, and you want to continue to follow God. You want to continue to look at Him. Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's what I want in my life. I want to know God more than I know Him now. Paul said it best. I'm not going to go there. Chapter 3 in Philippians. You read that and you see. He wanted to live in the way Christ was crucified and understand the power of the resurrection. He wanted to have an intimate relationship with his Lord. He thought it was important. It is. And when you grow in grace, you no longer look like everybody else. You don't dress like them. You don't go to the places they go to. You don't act like them. You don't get all upset and four-letter words come out of your mouth. You know, you put the teapot on, you turn the heat on, it starts spitting out stuff, doesn't it? Steam. Some Christians are like that. Put a little heat on them. Things come out of them. I'm guilty. It's happened before. May happen again. I hope not. But that's one of the things we have to battle and we have to fight. Because we're not like the world. We don't act like the world. We shouldn't. because we have a holy God. So this morning, I want to encourage you to be strong in the Lord. Why? Because He said, I am with you. I am with you. My question this morning to you is He with you? Number one, do you know you're saved? Been a time in your life when you've accepted the Lord. You didn't sit down and say a prayer, ask Jesus in your heart. That does not save you. It has nothing to do with the prayer. Now, I'm not saying the words are wrong. I'm just saying when you pray, you have to mean what you're saying. I can tell you that I'll be here tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Matt, I'll see you at 5 a.m. here tomorrow. He said, I'm going to be gone somewhere. You can meet me, but I won't be here. But the fact is, if I have no intention of coming, what did I just do? I lied. That's sometimes what we do with God. God, I want to trust you as my Savior. Please come into my heart or something like that. That's not going to work because it's a relationship, and the relationship begins when you understand you're lost and Jesus died for you, and that the only way to be with a holy God is to put your faith and trust in God. When you put your faith and trust in God, there will be actions in your life that demonstrate that. You will want to read the Word of God. You will want to come to church. You will want to tell others about Jesus. Now, you won't be perfect in those things, and you'll struggle from time to time, but that is a desire you have. And what you make your priorities demonstrates who you love the most. Can I say that one more time? What you make your priorities demonstrates who you love the most. Say, what do you mean by that statement? Exactly what I said. If your priority is God, it's going to be demonstrated in your life, in your church attendance, in your Bible reading, in your witnessing. That's what's going to be demonstrated. If you have other priorities, and there are a lot of them out there, work can be one, you'll spend all your time at work. And it's easy to do. And you'll just keep on. Well, the money's good. Got to get the extra money. Well, you put money before God. Who supplies your needs? Now, I'm not saying if you have to work a Sunday that demonstrates. I'm just saying that I know there's times when things happen. But if that is your testimony, every opportunity you're willing to give up coming to church to do something else, that demonstrates your priorities. Because this ought to be more important than anything else. We go to work on time. We go to school on time. We go to people's houses on time. We do a lot of things on time because we feel it's important. But then we come to church sometimes. And what that demonstrates is God's not a priority in my life. He wants you to be strong. But that strength comes from Him. So this morning I want to encourage you. So if you're lost, please come forward. If you're not living for the Lord this morning, you say, Pastor, there's something in my life I'm just not willing to give up, or I haven't been. But this morning you spoke to my heart through the Word of God. I want to give it up. You come down here and bow the knee. Don't be ashamed. Just come down here and say, God, I need your help. Would you please? I don't have the power or strength to do it, but you do. And I want that strength in my life. Would you, could you take this away from me or help me in this area? Get real with God is all I'm saying. He wants to be real with you. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to come this morning. And Father, I pray that we would all understand that our strength comes from you. We need to know the truth, and we need to try and practice righteousness in our lives. And we do that by really obeying the commands, obeying the Word of God, and then never giving up. And finally, if we'll practice those things, then we will grow. We will grow in grace and be more like our Savior and less of what we are by nature. Father, help each one of us. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand, and while you're standing, grab your hymnal and turn to 3.